This morning's readings have an abundance of blessings and curses in them, which always makes me feel uncomfortable. My son, my eldest son, who's 33, somewhere in that zone, he and I were talking recently. He's been staying with us. And he said, "Dad, we should have a conversation about what you believe in God, because I'm interested." And I thought, oh dear, this is always worrying. But all three of my children who've grown up in a double clergy household have, I don't think they've become anti-God. I think they've just been inoculated. And their culture is one that has difficulty with the kind of readings that we've had today. Because in some ways those readings, the picture that you get of God is somebody who's making notes and is going to whomp you if you've made wrong choices, curse you, or reward you if you've made right choices. And then there's this weird bit in the gospel when Jesus says, "How blessed are you who are hungry, naked, clothed, with bad hair," or, you know, all the things that we don't want. And he says, "You're blessed." And it's such a strange thing to say. And the things that we've all been encouraged to gather a certain amount of wealth, to have a nice house, to have friends, to have people speak well of you, aha, that's all cursing stuff. And it does leave you confused. So when I was talking to my son, I said, instead of seeing God as a kind of external police officer or a moral bean counter, how about think of God not in that king in the sky thing, but think of God more in the way we talk about the Holy Spirit, as that thing which is wafting and weaving its, his, her way through our lives, through our relationships, through our decisions. And it is as if the Holy Spirit is a wind blowing, very biblical today, aren't I? A wind blowing, a breeze, and breezes have directions. And I think the Holy Spirit is God's desire for us, God's love of us, God's encouragement for us to find what we as Christians would call the Christ within us, the goodness, the spark of divinity. We who are all made in the image and likeness of God, not just externally, but inwardly. So our life is a series of choices and challenges and bumps in which we have to make decisions. And I think the spiritual practice of our faith is about making decisions and thinking them through and getting used to thinking them through so we get better at making the decisions we want to make. So I have a game to play today called audience participation. And I'm going to call upon my deacon while she's still a deacon and I can order her about. Good luck with that. I've got four questions. I may use all of them, just some of them. This is a question about a blessing and a curse. You find a $50 bill. I have a visual cue for you. I went to the bank and got one of these. I haven't seen one of these for a long time. You find a $50 note on the sidewalk, blowing towards you, and no one else is in sight. You pick it up. What will you do with it? Now, my invitation to you is, rather than have me tell you what you should do with it or shouldn't do with it, I challenge you to be bold. And if you have an answer for that, put your hand up. And the microphone will arrive with you instantly at high speed.
High speed.
Now, you may not laugh at what people say, but you may laugh with the person who has spoken.
I will. I would take it and donate it to the Church of the Redeemer.
Oh. Ah! Why? Why?
I would feel bad keeping it. And I would give it to a community that I think would do some good with it.
What kind of good?
There's this lunch program that happens. So they tend to feed thousands of people, people who would otherwise not have any food. And some days I don't have food, but I wouldn't take the 50.
So would that be a curse or a blessing?
I think probably a curse, because I said it out loud at the church. So so everybody knows what I would do, because like on the...
Thank you. Okay, that's... And does anybody else want to have a comment on the $50 bill? Yes.
I would share it if I saw someone on the street that was asking for money. I would take him into a restaurant, order a meal for he or she, and pay for it.
Would you get to eat too?
Well, depends if I was hungry.
Okay. Thank you very much. Would that, no. So that would be a blessed way of doing it.
Yeah. And do it quietly.
Any others for the $50 bill question? Okay. Oh, yep, whisk it round. So just while it's getting there, 2 days ago, after I'd prepared all this, I went across the road to Value Mart to buy something, and it was late in the evening. There weren't many customers around, so there was only one till running, and the other aisle was completely empty, and there was a $50 bill on the ground. And I looked at it, and I thought... They're busy. And I thought, David, bear in mind what you've prepared for this sermon. So I took it and gave it to the cashier and said, somebody dropped that, they may come back for it. And I felt, why am I had to be so good? And also, that was the right thing to do. Wouldn't it be great if you dropped $50 and you went back and it was there? Wouldn't that be cool?
Well, it's hard to follow all of those, but if I found a 50 and I didn't see anyone around to whom it belonged, I would be very pleased to pick it up and spend it on anything I wanted. I would feel like this was my lucky day.
That is recognition of honesty. In the middle of this, you need to look, where are the blessings? Where are the cursings? Did I go in the direction that leads me to blessing? Do I acknowledge the gift of a blessing? Because sometimes, if you've had a really lousy week and you've got no money, $50 on the ground is just, that's just a blessing. Just don't worry. But notice which way, as you were listening, did you agree? Did you disagree? What were you thinking? Because probably all of you could have answered that. We're going to go to another one. Surgery. Your friend has to have surgery. Your friend's body will be changed forever. It will never be the same. Is this a curse or a blessing?
I think it's a blessing, because anything in this day and age, I'm just very grateful. Having gone through a few surgical procedures myself, and maybe some more in the coming years, I felt very blessed that I had good physicians, that I had good care, that I was able to explain what my problem was, and people were listening to me and got me the care that I needed. If I really loved that person and that was a friend of mine, and even if it changed them, disfigured them, removed part of them, whatever, if it made them feel better and healthier, I think it's a blessing. And they would still be my friend, because I don't think friendship exceeds what you look like. Or I think it's all to do with personality, and it's a gift. Friendship is a gift. So I think it's a blessing. And I'm just very grateful that in this day and age, 2019, that my friend would have that kind of surgery or whatever it is that would make him or her feel much better and be much better and maybe have a more productive life because
Thank
of
you.
It.
Thank you. Anybody else on the surgery? Yeah. There we go. Keep your hand up so she knows.
Thank you. I guess I would tend to agree I think if the surgery ensured that that person would continue to live, then that in itself is a blessing. Despite the changes that it might cause, I would be hopeful that that person would be able to adjust to those changes, because that's what life is. Life is constantly giving us decisions to make or changes in the environment that we have to adapt to. We're constantly having to change and adapt to different things in life, and I would have faith that that person could adapt to those, and that certainly would not trouble me, because if that person is a friend, then I would hope that I see past external things.
Thank you.
See who that person really is.
Thank you. Last call for a comment on that one. Yeah.
I find the best word in that is friend, because you're at the mercy of whatever technology you have at that moment. And I think the blessing comes in the support, either in the joy or the grief of the people around you.
So this is an interesting, the way you've all brought this out. This, I mean, getting a bit chopped off you is never going to be a good idea. You know, I'd like to lose my arm, I'd like to lose my leg. But there's the sense of the blessing in continuing life. But quietly said is the blessing of friendship, the blessing of support, that you know, I... You may be my friend and I may go and see you, but if you know, if you have to go through surgery, I may come and see you more often. I may take care of you. Our friendship, our relationship may deepen. Other members of the church may come and take care of you. And suddenly there's a circle of quiet little blessings that don't remove or balance out the curse of the surgery. But in a funny way, blessings can sneak in behind curses, as curses can sneak in behind blessings. Ice cream. This is a very theologically difficult question. There is a power cut in your area in the summertime, and you, just moments before all the lights and power went out, got home and put your 4-liter tub of your absolute favorite and very expensive ice cream into the freezer. And you can see which way this is going, and it's not good, and you've got an hour before this turns to inedible sludge. How do you pursue and seize hold of the blessing in that ice cream? Yes.
Well, I'd start eating it right away. And then with my spoon and a whole bunch of spare spoons, I'd run up and down the neighborhood offering bowls of ice cream to the neighborhood who are all in the same boat. And that sort of happened during that big, there was a big blackout in August some year. Mm. And I had a meeting and I had 20 people coming and I had 20 food for 20 people. One person showed up. And so I boxed up the stuff. The food was mostly gorgeous pasta. And I just went and knocked on doors. Have you had dinner yet? Have you had dinner yet? You know, and got rid of most of it.
Any other for the ice cream challenge?
So also in the blackout of 2010, the church where I grew up in Fenland Falls, they had planned on that day to have a free barbecue to give out food independent of the blackout. And it ended up that everyone just thought they were giving away food because of the blackout. So in some ways, the church's message got lost a little bit. The community, I mean, it was still community outreach, but it became a mild curse in that the message that they were trying to give got lost. But it was a lot of ice cream. So.
Nobody said, I would just eat the entire box of ice cream, which to me is the obvious thing to do. But the problem with eating the entire box of ice cream is the curse that follows.
Yes.
So blessings and curses sit close together. God, I do not think, watches over us and makes notes, as I said. I think the Spirit of God is actively weaving pushing, tugging, suggesting. So often, the blessing hides a curse, and the curse hides a blessing. I don't think judgment or eternal life lie somewhere else. And that passage from St. Paul, where he's saying, some people are saying Christ isn't raised from the dead. Christ is raised from the dead. And I will use that present tense because we're talking now about the Christ who is divinity, who is always present. Christ is raised from the dead. And inasmuch as we are in Christ, which is what we try to do as Christians, we say we are the church, we are the body of Christ, and we are in Christ. So we are being raised from the dead. And we are constantly being drawn towards blessings. It is not a matter of being measured and being held accountable or praised. It is to what extent do you grow in eternal life? Because someone once said to me a long time ago, the extent to which you will be raised to eternal life after your death is directly related to the extent to which you are living eternal life in this life. Have fun over the next week to think about blessings and curses, how they come quietly in as consequences or invitations. Ponder some of your silly decisions like ice cream, some of your greater decisions like how to vote or how to deal with somebody on the street. Ponder and think about blessings and curses which are actually more or less life within your soul. Amen. Thank you to all who contributed.